So good morning. So Bob Picciano, Mike Roden, and I are going to pick up on the first strategic initiative, that of data. And I'm going to start by describing really the consequences for where our clients are investing. The main implication here that Ginny talked about is that we are moving into a world of real-time, anywhere, anytime analytics to optimize the enterprise and every business process. And that's very different from the kind of analytics that we've seen in the past, those associated with transactional processing or ERP systems. It will create and is creating an entirely new era of software and high-value services. And we're seeing this growth really forming on three key dimensions. Firstly, every business or line of business owner, every profession, is starting to drive decisions which are putting to play the demand for technology. So that's why we talk about the front office driving a lot of these technology decisions, 61% in fact. Secondly, data architecture, looking to unify all types of data, serve it up real time. And this is different. It's unifying this data, not just integrating architectures as it was in the past, and unifying front-end and back-end systems. And Bob will actually pick up on that a lot for us. And then the third area is these emerging categories, which Ginny touched on. Cognitive, which Mike will talk about, which we believe will be very powerful, and all the security and engagement, which actually are the basis for a lot of this data analytics and these new systems. So it's really important that it's not just that data's growing. What we're seeing is an entirely new market opportunity really created on radically changed opportunities and capabilities that our clients are trying to seize. So Ginny said data is the basis for new competitive advantage. I think we got that. But let me use that idea to connect two really important dots in our strategy across the thought of data and engagement. What I see across professions and buyers all around the world is that the quest, the dominant priority, is all about these new models for engagement, driving individual engagement and using data and analytics. So there are a lot of technology providers who can say we're good with data and analytics. There are others who can talk about engagement. But from the client's point of view, it's really needing to do both. And if you think about it this way, the front-end engagement is really how you gain access to the critical information about any individual, right? Their needs, their preferences, their choices, their behaviors. And that is the most valuable data an organization can possess and analyze. So this is actually the start of a very new and very important cycle for enterprises. The data from engagement is the new source for redesigning processes, optimizing operations, optimizing offers, customer services, and sales. So once we all used to think in this room about ERP being the core backbone of an organization, the new enterprise backbone is engagement, data, and analytics. That cycle, a totally new backbone. And by the way of reminder, over here, analytics isn't just a market growing faster than the overall IT market. It really drives large growth for us. Software at 6% market growth and services at 8%. So there are a lot of facts on this page, but let me tell you a little bit about what's different about us. It comes back to that ability to traverse and connect deeply the data and analytics on the one hand, but to create delightful, personalized, engaging experiences that generate all that data. And this begins really with the industry's first and only consulting practice that integrates business strategy and business analytics together in one practice with 15,000 consultants who can go from business models to deep analytics. And within that practice, as Ginny called out, we've embedded our number one rated digital agency, IBM Interactive Experience, number one in the world. And this is a first of a kind capability, not just for IBM, but actually for our industry. And it does go directly to our ability to create value at this intersection of big data, analytics, and engagement. You can see the array of capabilities that we've built, which we believe create moats. Fast and easy provision of analytics capability on the cloud marketplace, right through to power systems, optimized for these analytics and data intensive workloads that we're facing. So we are going to continue to make this market and to invest and to scale ourselves for this real-time analytics capability. Simply stated, we don't believe we have any peer in terms of the analytic foundation and depth we bring to our clients. Our organic development, we now focus a third of our research budget, a third on big data and analytics. IBM Interactive Experience, which I've talked about, we'll be building out 10 new labs and adding 1,000 skilled consultants into these this year. And the future of all cognitive with our $1 billion investment. That's why we have such confidence in our growth plans for this market. Now, we've shown you this projection before, $20 billion in revenue by next year. In fact, we're actually growing this category twice as fast as the overall market. CAGR of the overall market, 6%. We've been growing at 12%. We bring our clients the greatest industry depth, and it's really validated by some of these IT analyst reflections on this page. And I don't want to leave this page also without a comment on our intellectual property. As Ginny said, the 40,000 engagements we've completed since we founded this capability in IBM means we've amassed a tremendous amount of judgment, know-how, expertise, and repeatable assets, experience that no competitor can match. So, analytics pulls massive demand for IBM. When we talk about this enterprise backbone, here's an example and an image of what that looks like, and Bob and I will both talk a little bit about this. So what you see on the right is what our clients are really trying to do with the data that's available. What they really want is the ability to get beyond really good facts based on past performance to genuine guidance, if not actual answers, for really important questions for them, like what's actually happening out there? Why did it happen? What could happen and what should I do about it? Underpinning the ability to answer those questions is significant platform, architecture, and asset capabilities that allow robust, secure, and integrated capability to actually make some of those decisions, which Bob will talk about, making this happen for our clients. So let me touch on those three professions or markets and big categories. We see the markets forming here, if you look on the left-hand side, around a number of new decision makers. What we have picked out is the areas that we believe the mass and largest investments for this capability are going to be. So firstly, customer experience. This is a $37 billion market, growing at 7%. The client is the CMO, sales leader, chief customer officer. And we're the leaders clearly in digital marketing, cloud services, mobile app development. Then finance, fraud, and risk, also massive, $70 billion, growing at 6.6%, serving the CFO or chief risk officer. Here we bring decades of experience around risk, fraud, anti-money laundering, and that has been used to build and drive fully integrated cloud solutions of software and services, which we launched earlier this year. We run the risk analytics for 25 of the world's top 30 banks, and 70% of the world's tier one global banks have implemented our anti-money laundering solutions. And then finally, operations, supply chain, $62 billion, growing at 8%. Here we bring a lot of our stream, asset optimization, predictive analytics capability, as well as our leadership in business operations consulting. So I want to really bring these domains to life for you. I'm going to give you three examples of the work, but what I'd like you to think about as you listen is how you see our clients changing the backbone of their processes and operating models as they're using analytics to change how they're running their business. And it really shows you how deep and transformational this change is. So first, Jaguar Land Rover. They turned to us to create a new kind of buying experiences. They didn't want to be limited by the physical cars, so they asked, could we create pop-up showrooms where they can throw up them anywhere, show in auto shows and airports and shopping malls, and use this to have a virtual buying experience. So tablet computers let visitors configure the full car, models and options, but actually drive the car with full engine sound. They're able to use gestures to manipulate the vehicle, climb inside, slam the doors, take a test drive. And in fact, I would argue this is the only fast drive you'll ever have where you can safely text. So let's have a look. Sensors firstly detect arm and body gestures. Closing the trunk, or as you see, just leaning to rotate the image. The small circles you're seeing They're called information spots. And these open to show product details. So you see by pointing at this one, he's looking at the information on the headlights. He obviously finds that interesting. Now, that just doesn't go for all of us. Leaning again to rotate the car and pointing and swiping to open the hood and see the engine. By the way, that car is rendered at 60 frames per second, which is 10 times the detail of the equivalent generation video games. It was the hit of the Paris Motor Show at the end of last year, and it was just named the Innovation Project of the Year in the UK. Now, what's interesting here is that Jaguar Land Rover said, we not only helped them transform the car buying experience, which was tremendously successful, but, quote, the whole culture and mindset of our business towards a more digitally informed model. And that's what I mean by a new backbone, because what they've used this is to engage customers in an entirely different way and capture tons of data that helps them and flows into product design and areas for research for JLR. Now turning to the center, RE/MAX, a large insurer in Peru, quite simply, they put into place our solution for counter-fraud, identified 190 million in false claims over a previous two-year period, and were able to seize and yield that. And then ConocoPhillips. Organizations that run oil rigs out on the high seas spend a lot of money trying to track weather patterns and map to flows. You've got thousands and thousands of ice flows, moving targets, whose movements have to be predicted well enough advanced to avoid the $300 million it costs to move a single platform. So we've worked with them to use stream computing, to use analytics that detect shapes from satellites in a high-resolution format, and to take algorithms that predict weather, and to integrate all of those three to create a backbone of a new operating system which allows them to optimize the placement of oil drills. The result for them is more uptime drilling and the saving of $1 billion per production platform over its lifespan. Very powerful, deep backbones for our clients. So to say more about how we create the assets and the architecture of this backbone, my colleague, Bob Picciano.
Great. So let me pick up on the ConocoPhillips example and drive into a set of capabilities that we believe make up that new backbone for increased insight and importantly address one of the most fundamental shifts that we think are happening in the space of big data analytics, and that's the move to real-time actionable insight. So like anything of value, you start with the client outcome. And Bridget talked about some of these scenarios on the right side of this chart, talking about how we're helping our companies that we serve transform financial risk, transform efficiency of operations, utilizing real-time computing to introduce predictive maintenance and quality capabilities into their infrastructures, helping them improve the general economics of IT by using things like real-time columnar in-memory databases to improve how much data they can traverse, and really ultimately to transform the customer experience on the front end. And the way that we do that is by matching it with the proper analytic to be able to serve that outcome. And as this becomes a larger and larger set of scale solutions, we have to be able to drive those analytics actually into the infrastructure. It's much like AT&T thinking about their telecommunications network and making the realization that before the use of automated switching technology, in order for everybody in the United States to have a phone, everybody in the United States would have to be a phone operator. And that's not tenable. So in order to really drive the process improvement, taking sophisticated predictive prescriptive analytics and driving it directly into the infrastructure is a fundamental shift. And doing that real time in the business moment is going to create more value than we've seen to this point. So let me go into the left side of this chart and talk about this new architectural foundation for managing information. If data is the next natural resource, we have to have the capability to refine that information. We have to have the capability to put that information into a format that can be used appropriately. Now, this problem gets even worse in a big data space. In most structured data implementations, you're dealing with application domain specific data, which you understand. But then when you start to bring cross application domain data into play and cross geographic region data and the nuance of textual and instruction information, the problem expands. So the degree of sophistication you have to have in that refinement capability goes up, very high degrees. You have to worry about things like semantic integration, right? What's semantic integration? Well, everybody knows what a hat size and a shoe size is. And if you're a retailer, you're interested in inventory related to hat size and shoe size. But the retail operation in the United Kingdom is very different in terms of its hat size and shoe size measurements than that in New York. You can't just semantically integrate that data. You have to have rules about how it can be integrated. That's a very, very simple example. Just think about the context of that to an individual, to a household, and to the very, very nebulous definition of many of the applications and the data that it interacts with. So we have to have very, very deep capabilities on the left side of this chart to help manage that problem. First off, we need to innovate in the analytical systems of record, things like data warehouses, data mart platforms. Those aren't going away, but we have to innovate to make them handle more information, to make them handle more information more quickly, and that's the introduction of things like in-memory columnar capabilities and evolving our core franchises in that space to handle the closer to real-time actionable insight of that enterprise data warehouse space. Then the one in the middle, the landing, exploration, and archive data zone. This is where you see a lot of a NoSQL play, especially Hadoop in this space. So this is about collecting a broader, more diverse set of information and being able to store it without having to contemplate the schema or the model that I'm going to use as I store the information. Now, we've been an absolute innovator in this space, and in fact, Forrester rated our distribution of Hadoop, Big Insights, number one for the second year in a row as it relates to enterprise capability. Why is that the case? Because we're adding capabilities into the Hadoop space that companies that have to integrate information need to worry about. Probabilistic matching, context, being able to use SQL, which has, you know, a very, very large number of skills in the marketplace, on top of the Hadoop distributions. Very different than what other players are bringing to the market, but also underpinning that with security, privacy, and governance. Right? When you're now integrating information from a wider degree of sources and also getting real-time information, the level of gravitas inside of that data as it relates to your customer exposure grows exponentially. So the importance of having more privacy, more security, more data anonymization feature needs to be there. And again, exclusively, last year we introduced the privacy suite for Hadoop to help our customers wrestle with this problem. On the top, this newly emerging space of being able to seize the business moment. When we move into the era of the Internet of Things, information is going to be streaming from those 1 trillion interconnected devices. And it's going to be a sea of white noise. You have to be able to extract the signal from that white noise and be able to apply in context the right analytic to help drive those new experience outcomes. It's a space and a field that we invented, stream computing, and InfoSphere Stream's capability is applied to transforming healthcare, connected car applications, and I'm going to share with you some fun retail examples on new capabilities that we introduced into the Bluemix environment to help transform the way people think about composing information-intensive cloud applications in this era of big data. And then we need to be able to, you know, ingest all the operational information, perform transaction management on the information, and keep everything in the proper context. That represents the entire architecture. There's a lot of innovation that's been going on in this space. Ginny talked about the vast investments we've made both organically and through acquisitions to build up these capabilities and deliver this platform to market. That's why Bridget and Ginny both reflected on it as a new order of capability that's required for this new era. So let me go into the real-time space a little bit more. Now, I think that the space of big data is going to transform, and what's going to be important is fast data. Being able to seize the business moment, in the moment, during a system of engagement, to better service the needs of that client or that citizen or that consumer. And just think about the competitive advantage of doing that, and just think about the transformative implications of some industries like healthcare, which is very much still a batch collection type of an environment. You think about that. A baby in a neonatal intensive care ward has monitors, but the nurse comes in once an hour, takes rounds, writes those vital signs down, and that's what the doctor looks like. By only looking at that data once an hour, they miss very, very critical spells that happen relative to respiratory rate, blood oxygen levels, that show potential distress, potential early onset infection, and the doctors miss the opportunities to improve this. And you'll understand how this ties in with the transformative work we're doing at Watson as we move through the presentation here. So what do you have to do in a real-time space in order to transform an industry? First, you have to be able to sense what is happening. And we're talking about a huge amount of volume and velocity of information. You saw 2.3 times 10 to the 18th, 2.3 exabytes of data being created, right, as we go here. Very, very high velocity space and a lot of veracity in the information, meaning uncertainty. How do I get the signal out of that? I have to be able to sense that. Then I have to build context around that information, meaning how does it relate to that individual, my client, or that individual's household? How are the needs of this individual different than another? If it's going to be a deep system of engagement, I have to have context about that individual, about my product or my service, to be able to make sure that that really matters. I need to decide what to do by the application of predictive or prescriptive analytics integrated into the business process. This is not something that you can do at scale with an individual sitting in front of a glass business intelligence descriptive BI screen. This is sophisticated analytics driven into the infrastructure, and then I act in the business moment. And we do this in microseconds, being able to look at aspects of financial trades, counterparty fraud. I mentioned the healthcare examples, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of a fun example about how we're really introducing new capabilities to help information-intensive cloud developers seize the opportunities of these rich big data capabilities to transform their industry. So we're going to go into a bit of a demo here, a bit of a video, and if we can advance the slide here, I'll go ahead and set this up. So what you see here is a geographic region, and we have a grocer. Grocer was, very, very optimistic about the this year's barbecue season, and they thought they were going to get a lead time on Memorial Day by ordering a bunch of chickens, right? You know, because people like to barbecue chicken on Memorial Day, but what happened? The weather was bad, and now they have this huge inventory of chickens, and they have to get rid of them. So in the old world, what would they do? They would maybe take one of the stock boys or one of the cashiers, and they'd put him in a rubber chicken suit, and they'd put him out on the corner, and they would wave a sign around, you know, we have a sale on chickens. But that's not today's marketplace, right? That's not today's marketplace. Today's marketplace is, how do I understand my client? How do I understand how to be able to make an offer to that client in a relatively personal way so it matches maybe their real-time needs, and I can be able to do this on a higher scale order. So let's go ahead and roll the video here. So what you'll see here is this is a, there you go. There's the happy end result. But let's go to the beginning. So let's start here. We see geodetic time series tracking of my clients in the area of Manhattan. And our stock boy, instead of putting on the chicken suit, decided he was going to go in and use IBM Bluemix to be able to select a geographic region and send an offer to those customers who had that grocer's app on their phone. And people opted in to selecting that application. Now what you see is the programming model that stock person is using. Instead of donning a rubber chicken suit, they're now doing Star Trek-level programming, right? They're using operators, not writing code, but interacting in those operators to drive new value. And you see two levels of capability here. One of them is real-time input of which one of their clients likes chicken, if you could pause the demo here just for a moment. And the second one on the top of where are they located? What are they doing right now? Now, when you're talking about real-time information and geodetic tracking from your phone, everybody likes what the interface looks like on this side of the glass. I can tell where I am. I can tell where I'm going. It helps me orient myself. But on the other side of the application, on the other side of the cloud, it is a sea of white noise coming at that retailer. It's a sea of white noise coming at that marketer, and we need to be able to help them discern what are the important signals from that noise. So we invented capabilities here that helps put real-time spatiotemporal data into space-time boxes so they can watch the movements of those clients. They can identify where they like to hang out. They can identify if they're in that geographical region, and that's the data we want to merge into based on our loyal customers to make the offers for those chicken dinners. So let's go ahead and re-roll the video, and I'll show you what the stock person has to do in order to just tweak a couple of interesting models and be able to make that real-time offer. So right here, if you pause it again, we're talking about business rule programming, English language programming, to say if my client is the distance of about 5 miles away, that's generated off of the geographic selection area, and the current time is between 5 and 7 p.m., maybe I can get my client to come in. If they're a customer who has a propensity to act in the medium and high space, I scored that with InfoSphere Streams to be able to identify if that client has accepted offers in the past, if they've exhibited loyalty to the grocer. then therefore I can probably attract them in. That's where I want to target with my offers. That's where I want to be able to create cross-selling opportunity, and that's where I want to provide a service back to that individual client. Let's re-roll the video. What they do is they go now and they select, okay, how am I going to make this offer compelling? I know I have a couple different types. Somebody who comes to the store a lot has a very high propensity to act, and somebody who doesn't act quite as much. I increase my offer to try to get them to come to the store by giving them 15% off their next purchase in dairy. This gets automatically upgraded in the enterprise marketing management capabilities of Unica in the cloud, distributed out to the individual cell phones. They get the offer. All of a sudden, they see that they get a great, compelling offer to get maybe a bottle of wine, discount on the next dairy purchase, and they opt in. Now I know how many chickens to start putting in the oven so I can use my inventory, get dinners ready. Customers will come to the store and be delighted that they got a new service from this grocer. Now, I talked about creating this in a BlueMix environment. Bridget talked about helping ConocoPhillips save tremendous amount of potential collateral damage by being able to optimally place their oil rigs. I also talked about transforming healthcare. Think about the real-time applications here and transforming how insurance companies rate their clients. Think about how we can transform healthcare in this context, or how we can go after the $1.4 trillion that exists in the marketplace around counterparty fraud, understanding the dynamics in real time with all this information. And again, we do this in microseconds. So they save themselves the embarrassment of donning a chicken suit. They did some sophisticated rule-based programming in English, and they were able to drive an outcome of increased sales of chicken dinners. So look, that's just an example of some of the capabilities that we've delivered now or delivering inside of BlueMix with real-time actionable insight. And again, this shift to real-time active insight, away from just this notion of large amounts of data, but really being able to seize the business moment. And as the industry shifts to the Internet of Things opportunity around the cloud, this will become more and more relevant to the clients that we serve. 2014 has been a big year already in terms of innovations we've introduced. Started the year with the introduction of the Watson Group, which Mike is going to talk more about. Introduced Power 8, which is the industry's first infrastructure platform that's optimized for big data, increased thread density, increased memory addressability, and allows capabilities like data warehousing to run on the environment two orders of magnitude with the capabilities of our Blue Acceleration faster than what they were able to run at before. 100 times better price performance than any in-memory columnar database competitor in the marketplace as it relates to our capabilities versus theirs. Introduced our counterparty fraud solution. Again, another example of integrating big data and analytics in a customer solution seamlessly so we're solving the business outcome need, not really focusing on the technology that's required underneath, but really helping drive that outcome. And introduce these services into a cloud mix environment in a composable way so that developers can serve new markets, transforming their roles and changing their industries. So again, let me summarize. Helping clients go further and faster with our vast capabilities of analytic consultants and with the learnings of over 40,000 engagements, which we've identified those six patterns of outcomes that our clients typically want to go after. Over 4,800 patents, innovations in core areas like Hadoop, stream computing, relational database technology, probabilistic matching, data integration, data privacy security, all into this space. In general, we put about 500 patents a year out in the space of analytics, so a significant body of authorship in introducing new and relevant innovations that drive this marketplace. And now taking those capabilities and moving them out of the old notion of a data refinery, which meant behind an enterprise firewall, and putting it out directly into the cloud. And now, to talk about how we're transforming to go from the space of typically structured and textual-based information, but how to marry that with all of the learnings of the journey of humankind, which is where Watson comes into play. Let me go ahead and turn it over to Mike Roden. Mike?
All right, so as data starts to get bigger, I think we're all in agreement that it's getting bigger. Bob just took us through why it's getting faster. I think it's important to understand that we are truly convinced that we are ushering in the dawn of a new era of computing. Right? Over the next few minutes, I hope to convince you as much as we're convinced. Right now, as we started to think about all this data, all the structured data, all this unstructured data, the speed that is coming at us, we started to think about that there are problems that need to be solved in business that we have not been able to solve with computer science so far. Information technology has not reached all aspects of business nor our lives yet, but it will. Now, the technology, this idea of a new era of computing was first, you know, we saw a glimpse of it, I guess is the best way to look at it, when we did the Jeopardy demonstration, right? It was a great demonstration of a way to understand how all of this information gathered together in one of these new systems was going to be able to start to interact with a knowledge base in ways that we hadn't seen before and that were more comfortable to us as humans. And the way we interact with each other, we're going to start to interact with information. Now, after the Jeopardy match, we started working on what you would expect us to work on, market validation. We picked two industries, one that you would expect us to pick, financial services, and one you might not have expected us to pick, which would be healthcare. Not healthcare from an IT systems viewpoint, healthcare from the care of patients. Understanding how we can start to use the world's information, the world's science, to improve the care of each of us. As Watson learned about those industries, we learned. We learned a lot. We learned about what it was going to take to build a commercial set of offerings around this technology. And more importantly, we started to learn that some of this technology, when applied to professions and businesses, were going to lead a level of transformation that we haven't seen in a very long time. The analogy that I use a lot is think of the financial services industry of the 50s and 60s and the transformation that occurred as transaction processing systems revolutionized the world's financial systems. Linking it all together over the period of about 15 years. The integration of the financial models, the international markets, massive transformation. We're going to see that transformation again, not in the same places. Those industries have already transformed. Those are our core businesses, but in new places, new opportunities, new areas. So what we learned during that period was there were three models that we had to start thinking about from a commercialization viewpoint. I'm going to take you through those. Now, just in review, what was Watson? What did it do? When we played the Jeopardy match, at the end of it, if you step back and really thought about what you saw, right? You saw a system that understood natural language, the language that we speak, that we write, that we communicate in. It used that information to generate hypotheses. It didn't generate an answer, and this is a very important point. It didn't generate an answer. It generated a set of hypotheses. And you could see this during the game show where it had the little green box at the bottom of the screen, and it ordered the top-ranking answers with a confidence level. Much the same way we think. We don't have an answer to a question. We usually think through many possibilities, and we come up with the one that we're the most confident in. And as we do that, sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it wrong. And we saw that in the game show, right? But most importantly, we learn. We learn from what we do right, and we learn from what we do wrong. Watson learns from what it does right and what it does wrong. That was the basis that we started with. But over the last couple of years, John's team and my team have been working on an understanding of how do you apply this technology to business processes and to professions, and we've started to realize that Watson needed to continue to evolve. It needed to learn to perceive the world around it. We need to understand who's working with us. We need to understand what they're saying. We need to understand why they're saying it. So we need to perceive things. New capabilities like automatic psycholinguistic profiling of the people that are using the system start to give us context about the people that are asking questions. When we interact with people and they ask us questions, we observe them, we may know them, we learn things about them that helps us understand why they're asking the question so that we can answer it better. We also recognize that the world is not simply questions and answers. There's these little things called problems. We need to learn to reason through problems. And working with Cleveland Clinic over the last couple of years, we've learned how to take complex one-page problem statements and break those problem statements into many, many different questions, using the question and answering capability to think through the hypotheses of that problem to think through a stepwise refinement of the problem to come up with an answer. We also recognize that if you ask me a question and I give you an answer, you may not be satisfied with that answer. You may want to clarify it. You may want to understand the context of my answer. But most importantly, and something we've all learned as parents with five-year-olds, you want to ask the question, why? Why did you come up with that answer? Why is it important? Right? So you want to see the evidence and the evidentiary trail that leads to that particular hypothesis. And just as we have learned many different ways, different methodologies, and you have many different models to understand the companies that you cover, Watson had to learn new techniques of learning, new algorithms. So it's now a cocktail of many different learning algorithms that support the generation of these hypotheses. This is what's been going on as we start to build out Watson into a platform, a cloud-based platform that ingests data, that understands the information. It has tooling that helps it specialize into specific domains, right? As you saw in the Jeopardy match, Watson understood English pretty well. But when we started to teach it oncology, I found out that the language that oncologists speak is slightly different than the English that I speak, right? So we had to learn new language types. We had to understand the meaning of medical science. We had to program all of that into the system. We also had to build tooling that makes it easy to assemble and build these applications, SDKs that make it easy to understand how you build an app, get an answer to a question, and respond to that. Tools that help you ingest new information into the system. Teaching Watson to read a new book, not just a new library. One of the big learnings out of the last 2 years was that most of our clients believe they understand where all their information is, but they don't. It's scattered across SharePoint servers, enterprise content management systems. It's all over the internet. It's in reference material that they've read in their past that they haven't pulled together. So one of the big issues that's going to face us as we move into this new era of computing is, what information do you put into the system? How do you know what's right? But more importantly, when do you change it? How do you create an audit trail for what changes in a medical procedure that goes into a diagnosis system? The regulators might want to know. Lawyers might want to know. Right? So as you think about these systems, they're getting more interesting. They're starting to be able to do new things. But the other thing we learned is that there's a set of repeating patterns that are starting to happen. And these repeating patterns are going to change the way we take this to market. Right? So we're going to transform industries, but we're also going to take some very repeatable products to market as we go forward. Things that you're going to see as I talk about are things you can see in the way you use systems today. And then we're also going to expose this to the consumer world through an ecosystem. All right. Three different areas of the business model. Transformation. I'll talk about the industries that I think are going to go through dramatic transformation and why. I'll talk about our enterprise offerings, the things that we see that are repeatable, and how they're going to start to be visible and seen by you. And third, I'll talk about some of our ecosystem partners and what they're doing with the technology, but most importantly, how we're ramping and expanding this capability as we move through 2014. So, healthcare. Healthcare was the non-obvious one that we started to work on. Now, why is healthcare interesting from a cognitive viewpoint? What is the problem of healthcare? The amount of medical science that's being produced today is a big data problem all by itself. So think about that, right? We train doctors today the same way we trained them for the last 100 years. You go to medical school, you read everything about medical science, all the reference material, you understand the art of being a doctor, you memorize it, and then you practice medicine in an internship, in a residency, where during techniques of sleep deprivation, often, you have to recall what you've learned. Now you get out and you start practicing. All the while, new clinical trials are being released, new drug trials are being released. The IT industry has decided it would be a really good idea to have you type everything you've done with a patient into electronic medical records that are now starting to become hundreds of pages long. You have to remember all that. Now, when you're practicing medicine, how long do you have when you go between patients? 2 to 3 minutes? Can you read a 200-page electronic medical record on your way in the door? Do you have time to understand what's going on around you? The doctors that we've talked to are getting inundated with information to the point where they're worried about their ability to practice. Now, the straw that breaks the camel's back, low-cost DNA sequencing and genomic medicine. They're not even trained how to read the data. They don't understand the implications of the data. And we're no longer just sequencing people. We're sequencing the diseases. We're sequencing the tumors. Right? And understanding what to do with that information has now created an information problem that they can't deal with. They need an assistant. They need help. They need an advisor. And that's what we're working on. With Cleveland Clinic, we've been focusing on how Watson can change the way medicine is taught and practiced. With Memorial Sloan Kettering, we've been working on solid mass tumors around diagnosis and treatment options for cancer. With MD Anderson, we've been working on how to advance clinical trials for bloodborne cancers faster into treatment plans. We've started to think about how medicine is paid for, how policies, how we approve things, right? How you match people up for clinical trials with Mayo, with WellPoint. Right? These are world-class institutions that are spending their time with us because, not because they're trying to buy a product, because they know their industry is going to go through a transformation and that we're at the forefront of how that transformation is going to occur. Enterprise solutions. We've identified patterns that are going to repeat themselves. Engagement advisor. We're working with a number of financial services institutions on how they engage with their clients in two dimensions, right? Simple dimension, call centers, right? Call centers are very expensive operations. They tend to have high turnover rates and high education costs because of that, right? Watson's good at answering questions. If you can teach Watson to answer questions about a particular domain, whether it's insurance, whether it's financial services, whether it's wealth management, those systems can be used with their clients to offload their people, to make wealth management available to a broader portion of the population because a single wealth manager can now deal with more clients because they have an assistant. Watson Discovery Advisor, starting to look for the needle in the haystack, starting to use information like genomics to start thinking about how to apply different drugs to specific tumors based on genomic markers. Identifying areas that haven't been researched, chemical combinations that haven't been tried or patented for new areas of exploration. And component technologies that help people get ready for Watson, understanding their data, whether it's big data exploration with Watson Explorer or Watson Content Analytics, to help people understand the natural language and the text analytics as we go forward. These technologies are getting people's information ready, but they're also advancing the platform. The underlying Watson Explorer capability will do that. Watson Content Analytics will help us get to other languages beyond English, as it's already working in several languages. The Watson ecosystem, we launched it in fourth quarter. This is how we're going to start to reach the masses. Our partners are going to give us the ability to reach the consumer world by building applications that they use with their consumer audiences. We extended the ecosystem to the enterprise a few weeks ago with the Watson Developer Cloud for enterprises so that the corporate developers can start to build applications of their own. And last week we announced that seven of the North America's leading universities in artificial intelligence and technology have joined our ecosystem and will be teaching classes on how to build Watson applications in the fall. Small institutions like RPI, NYU, Carnegie Mellon, Michigan, Ohio State, UT Austin, and Berkeley, right? Leading institutions that are going to start to train a next generation of entrepreneurs to enter into the ecosystem. We announced a direct investment fund. We've had 2,400 partners start to work with us on how they become part of the ecosystem. We launched a developer challenge. We had 400 business applications come in. We selected 25 semifinalists. They're now working on their solutions, and the finalists will be announced next month. This is rapidly expanding. Right? We're spending our time with the VCs and the startups, and they love the way we're doing this. It doesn't cost them anything to get going. They can just start building on the platform. Right? It's very similar to the other ecosystem platforms in the market, and it will be part of Bluemix. So as we think about big data and analytics, it's all about driving business outcomes. You heard this from Bridget. It's focusing on what the power of the information can do to change the way your business operates so you can have competitive advantage. We heard from Bob that it's not just how big the data is, but more importantly and increasingly, how fast it is, and being able to understand what to do with the information in the moment that it's created. And we believe that entire professions and industries are going to be completely transformed because of cognitive computing. I believe, I truly believe, that 50 years from now, we will look back at this moment in time as the dawn of a new age. And that new age is going to be important to every single one of us as we go forward.